Okay, so we're going to begin. As I wrote in the email, I wanted to speak a little bit about Rav Yaakov Moshe Charlap, some biographical, I guess, I don't know if it could be called a hesped, right? But to speak a little bit about him. Before I do that, I just wanted to add something to what we spoke last week. I didn't have a chance. We ended a bit late as it was, but we saw that Rabbi Yaakov Moshe was discussing the idea that Bechira is never fully lost to a Yid, to a Jewish person. So he said, he gave a few different points. So one of them, for example, was the ability to be Chazer B'tshuva B'ahava, that for sure always remains, right? He says, Ki im kol hapkimot shenifgam echad miYisrael lo nifgama b'chinat ahava, right? The love, the b'chin of ahava that's in a Jewish person, that never could have been blemished. That wasn't involved, he said, in the avera, and therefore the gzera wasn't against that b'china. So I just wanted to bring another source to that idea that the Ben Yoyada in the Gemara in Chagiga, the Ben Yoyada of course was written by the author of the Ben Ish Chai. So he on Daf Tes Vav Amud Aleph, he writes this same Yisod that when it says Shuvu Banim Shoivivim Chutz Me'acher, the Kavana is, this is what he writes, that if he's chozer b'tshuva miyira, if he's going to do tshuva out of fear, ein mekablu moisei, then they won't accept him back. Ach im shav b'tshuva me'ava, but if he's chozer b'tshuva be'ava, mekablu moisei, then they will accept him back. She'ein dovra oimid b'fnei tshuva me'ava, because there's nothing that stands before tshuva me'ava. There's no such thing as losing that possibility. And it's interesting, the Ben Ish Chai says that that was an argument between Acher and Reb Meir. Acher understood that the doors are closed, even Tshuva Me'ava is not going to help. And Reb Meir insisted, no, Tshuva Me'ava will help you. But, okay, so that's that Etzim Yisoy, the essential Yisoy that we saw by Rabbi Yaakov Moshe, distinguishing between Tshuva Me'ava and Tshuva Me'ira, that appears in the Ben Yoyada. The Chida, of course, also writes the same basic pshat in Acher, that the Bas Kol was that. Another thing, the Chida writes another aspect of Rabbi Yaakov Moshe's piece that we saw last week. Right, one of the things that we saw, I think it was the first point that he began with, was that, actually it was 2 weeks ago, I believe, was that the Bas Kol was a way of saying that Min HaShemayim, right, normally Min HaShemayim, they help people do tshuva. There's a bas kol, we said, that's like constantly going out and calling for the Jewish person to come back to HaKadosh Baruch Hu. And that bas kol would stop for Acher. He wouldn't get that aid. But if he would push somehow, right, we said, if somehow there's going to be a push there, he'll be able to, because of tshuva, he's just not going to get the active help min haShemayim. So that actually is the Chida. The Chida says that same pshat in the Gemara over there, that the bas kol was that for everyone, lekulam karim min haShemayim leshuv b'tshuva. To everyone, they call out to do tshuva. They call out min haShemayim. They call them to do tshuva. Chutz me'acher she'ein karim leshuv. Except for Acher, that they're not going to call for him to do tshuva. Avol im yashuv, but if he will return, yekablu b'tshuva, they will accept him b'tshuva. As far as the etzim idea of Bechira not being confiscated, so to say, rejected from Acher, the Chafetz Chaim also writes this same Yisoid, and the Chafetz appears in the Chafetz Chaim al HaTorah on Parshas Ve'era, in Parshas Ve'era, Perek Zayin Pasuk Gimel. There he says that there's no question that the Bechira wasn't taken away from Acher, and had he stirred himself to tshuva, he would have been able to come back, except that from min haShemayim, they didn't help him, they didn't stir him, they didn't help him. The same idea that we saw in the Ben Yoyada, and of course in Rabbi Yaakov Moshe. So those are just hashlamos, since sometimes it can look You know, the Rabbi Akamosh is saying big chidushim, like where does he, you know, and at the end of the day, you'll find the some of them, these big chidushim are very clearly sourced in other mefarshim. The fact that it's actually interesting. Rav Yosef Leib Zussman Zatzal, who was a very big makubel, I was eichet to be by him a number of times, and he was very famous for his Sfiras HaOmer and his Tikkun Chatzos, which he used to do at the Kaisel with Kavanis and crying. It was very, 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 very moving experience. And I actually have a recording of recordings of it. But so he was a Talmud of Rabbi Akamosh Chalap that actually helped put out his Svarim. I forgot to take the phone out again. So, just 1 minute. Okay, sorry about that. So, he said that he heard from Rabbi Yaakov Moshe that he didn't write anything that he didn't have an explicit source for. So even though he doesn't give his sources for things, it doesn't mean that there's no chidushim. Yeah, we'll see soon. You know, there were chidushim, but it means that everything that he said, even if it was what's called a chidush, he found what he considered an explicit source to that point. Anyway, so this is just an example. Maybe he doesn't tell us if he saw this, where he saw it, whatever it is. But clearly, it's a chidush which is accepted, an accepted idea. But all these ideas were accepted ideas that we find in other svarim, namely the Ben Yoyada, the Chida, and the Chafetz Chaim. And I presume that if a person searches long enough, he'll find it in other places, some of them in other places as well. Okay, so that's just as finishing off. So as I wrote in the email, this week, tomorrow night, is the Yahrzeit of Rabbi Yaakov Moshe Chalap, Zion Kislev. And so I thought it would be a good idea to say a little bit about Rabbi Yaakov Moshe Chalap, especially since, you know, at the beginning when we started giving shir on Mei Maroim, Chelek Aleph gave to the gave in the first shir, I believe, I gave some information, and we spoke a little bit about Rabbi Yaakov Moshe. You should know the author. You know, the Gaon says at the beginning of a few svara, Mishle and Koheles, he says that Shir Shir, right? It always says Shir Shirim Asher L'Shlomo, Mishle, and it says Divrei Koheles. It always, in the first pasuk, tells us, like in the Ksuvim, who's writing this, and the Gaon says that it's important before reading a sefer to know who the author is, because the context of what you are going to read is based on who the author is, right? If one person writes something, it's you take it in one way, and if another person wrote the same thing, you might take it another way. So it's very important. You can't disconnect a sefer from the author. It's important to know about the author, know who the author is. As a matter of fact, Stam, an interesting side point. There's a famous sefer which is like a mix of Kabbalah and Musar, which is called Chemdas Yamim. And the Chemdas Yamim was published without the name of the author. It was published anonymously. And it became sefer which there were a number of Gdol Yisrael that went very strongly against it, saying it was written by Natan Azati or the Talmud of Shabtai Tzvi, and therefore they said it's aser to learn it. There were others that said it's not him, but it's a different Shabtai. So there were those, and there still are those who are against the sefer today, because it was they claim it was written by a Shabtai Tzvi person, and therefore you're not allowed to learn it. So it's interesting. My Rebbe, Reb Sroya Devlitsky Zatzal, he used to give shir in it, and there were many, many Gdol Yisrael. The majority, the way overwhelming majority, do hold of the sefer, and overwhelming majority of Mekubalim as well. And the Reb Sroya, it's a fascinating, an amazing, amazing sefer, and Rav Ben Tzion Mutzafi quotes his father, Rav Salom Mutzafi, as saying, you know, you can't get a tam of yomtiv without learning the chemdes yama before that yomtiv. You can't really get a taste of yomtiv of the yomtiv if you don't learn chemdes yama before, which is a remarkable thing considering that one of the three gedolei Yisrael that were staunchly against the sefer was Rabbi Yehuda Fataya, who was the Rebbe Movok of Rav Salem Mutzafi. It's an interesting thing. Even though his Rebbe wrote so much against the Sefer, he continued to learn it and really praised it and said that everyone should learn it. It's an interesting thing. It's a historical thing. The three people that were against the Sefer was Rabbi Yaakov Emden, who, as we know, was a major chaser of Shabtai, Shabtaim. But we know that he was very kanoistic and went against many svarim that turned out to be very written and legitimately. For example, he claimed that the Maor Nevuchim could have been written by the Rambam. He went against it. So there were many things that clearly he was a bit extreme in his melchamis against the kanoim. And, well, Rabbi Yonason Emden, for example, or Rabbi Yonason Eibeshitz, for example, everybody learns his Torah. Hagan the Rabbi Yaakov Emden held he was a Shabtai. So that was one. Another one was the Minchas Elazar, the Munkacher. It's very interesting because the Minchas Elazar, in his testimony about the Sefer, says, "I never saw the Sefer," but he's against it. The Minchas Elazar, we know, was also a Shlokul Kanai, you know, and I guess he had heard things or whatever it is, but he testifies he didn't actually see the Sefer. So you have to take it in that, Be'eravon Mugbal, as they say in Hebrew. You have to take it in a very limited way. And then, of course, there was Rabbi Yehuda Fataya. Rabbi Yehuda Fataya, interestingly enough, in his Book of Dreams, he had many dreams and he did a lot of tikkunim. Rabbi Yehuda Fataya was a very, very big tzaddik, and he used to do a lot of tikkunim. And he had neshamas that would come to him, or he would bring them down, and he would rectify their neshamas. And he actually suffered from it. There were family members of his that died left to right, and his Rebbeim told him to stop it because he's endangering himself and his family. And he continued because he said that this is his avoda, he has to do this. We're talking about a very, very big person. And in his dreams, though, he writes that he fixed up the neshama of Natan Azati. He was misakin. He did a tikkun on the neshama of Reb Natan Azati. So I just said Reb Natan Azati. That's the lashon of the Ramchal when speaking about him. Just another thing to throw in. But that might explain why his Talmud Reb Salem Mutzafi felt like he was able to learn the Chemdes Yamim, perhaps. Because, okay, it's a very good sefer, an amazing sefer, nothing wrong with the actual content. And the author has been already fixed up by his Rebbe, perhaps, you know, I don't know. I've heard people suggest that. But in any case, those were the three main people that wrote against it. So, getting back to...
When did Rabbi Yehuda Fataya live? How long ago?
I don't remember exactly what year he was nifter, and I don't have it in front of me now.
But, the last century.
Yeah, I mean, listen, Rabbi Zion Mutzafi is alive today, right? So his father is Salem Mutzafi. His Rebbe was Rabbi Yehuda Fataya. So I don't know, you know. I forgot to mention. So I said Reb Sroya Devlitsky Zatzal. He gave shiurim in this, and he writes he wrote years ago in an article that it's important to put your name in a sefer. He was against those who write, who are anonymous in their svarim. You know, that they publish svarim anonymously. And he gave an example of the Chemdes Yamim, that all the wars and all the battles against the sefer is because they didn't know who the author was. Today, most people feel it was Rabbi Yamin Cohen, who was a very legitimate, not a Shabtai at all. Rabbi Yamin Cohen was a very big mekubel who taught very great people. For example, he was in the days of the Shomer Emunah and the Ramchal. I mean, he was like one of the people that taught the biggest Mekubalim in his day. Most people feel that it was written by him. Anyway, so that's all. Just the preface to the preface. So that's one inyan, is it's important to know who the Mechaber is. But today specifically, I wanted to speak a little bit about Rabbi Yaakov Moshe, because of the Yahrzeit tomorrow night, and you know, the group has somewhat shifted over the years since we started, so you probably appreciate a little bit to hear about Rabbi Yaakov Moshe. Besides all else, there's an important Likutei Moharan to know about, that there's a very big inyan of Shevach HaTzadikim, of praising the Tzadikim. It's not just to learn from their ways. That's also something. Yeah, we want to hear about and learn about Tzadikim in order to emulate them and to learn from their ways. But you know, there are some Tzadikim that are so great, it's hard to learn from them. You know, you're gonna read about the Arizal, or forget about that. You read about Rav Shimon bar Yochai, you find in the Zohar, there's many, many, many passages that is praising Rav Shimon bar Yochai. And who could come to Rav Shimon bar Yochai's toenails? You know, it's like... So, but there's something else in Rav Nachman Breslov, in a very bekitzer, everything he says is always very, very short. And, you know, the generations have expanded on a tremendous almost every point that he makes. And in the Likutei Moharan Chelek Aleph in Torah Chof Tes Ois Beis, so Rabbi Nachman says Ulehakim Ulereime Mesadas, how does one raise up his das? You want to raise up your das. How does one do that? That is done by praising the tzaddikim. When you praise and, you know, beautify the tzaddikim, al yedei ze nisroi memadas, through praising the tzaddikim, the das of a person becomes higher. Bebchinas, in the bechina of the pasuk kinesha yair kino, like an eagle, he awakens his nest, so he brings down the Tikkun Zohar, Nishra Derucha. The Tikkun Zohar says that the eagle is the idea of the ruach of a person, which he says is Da Bechinas Tzadik. That is the Bechin of a Tzadik, the Bechinas Ish Asher Ruach Boy, like what the Pasuk says about the Tzadik, he's an Ish Asher Ruach Boy, an Ish that has the ruach. So therefore, the Nesha, which is the ruach, refers to a Tzadik. And what does a tzaddik do? Ya'ir kino, he stirs his nest. What's the ken? Shehu ma'orer ha'moichin mitardei musan. He awakens, right? Ya'ir is to stir, is to awaken. He awakens the nest, which is the idea of the mochin, the like, kiviyochel, the seichel of a person. Mebchinas moichin de katnus. Specifically, it's the idea of the moichin de katnus, the small moichin. It's like just the relatively like a nest, like in, it's a right, they're babies, right? What's in a nest? It's the babies, it's the eggs and the frochim, the little chicks. So that's the idea of the mochin de katnus, the mochin of a person, the brain level of a person when he is in a relative smallness of mind. And the tzaddik, the nesher, awakens that bechina, which is the mebchinas moichin de katnus, mebchinas shena. He awakens it from sleep. Kino, ken, his ken, is from the lashon da knei chachma knei bina. It's from the lashon of the pasuk to acquire chachma, acquire bina. Chachma and bina, of course, are the two main chambers of the seichel of a person. Shehim hamochin, which is the mochin. So if you want to awaken, right, the das is the connecting factor of the chachma and the bina. The knei chachma knei bina is really put together through the das. So if you want to elevate the das, you are mishabeach the tzaddikim, and that helps elevate one's das. So we'll try to do that a little bit now. Before the Yahrzeit Rabbi Yaakov Moshe, speak a little bit about him. So first of all, if people don't realize it by now, so you should know that Rabbi Yaakov Moshe was a very unique tzaddik, a very, very unique person. And I think that a good place, a good letter to see that in is from a letter of Rabsaray Devlitsky Zatzal, my Rebbe, who grew up for 10 years of his youth, something like that, in the in Shari Chesed, which is the neighborhood where Rabbi Yaakov Moshe was Rav. And he watched him, and he actually wrote an article about him at some point that's printed in one of his forum now. So I just want to read to you, what Reb Sroya Zatzal wrote about Rabbi Yaakov Moshe, which I think really captures his uniqueness. Let me just find it. Hold on a minute, please. Yeah, here he is. Here it is. Baruch atah Adonai Eloheinu melech haolam shehakol nehyah. This letter is printed in the Torah journal called Yeshurun. It's in the 40th volume of Yeshurun, which is from Nisan, He Tavshin Ayin Tes. So on page 477 over there, this volume has like about 500 and something pages of Torah and letters and things about Reb Sroya Devlitsky Zatzal. They had another volume after the one after this, which with another few hundred pages. But in this, there's a very, very interesting correspondence between him and Reb Yosef Leib Zussman Zatzal, who I mentioned earlier, who was a big Mekubel, a big Talmud of Reb Yaakov Moshe. So Reb Sroya Devlitsky Zatzal and Reb Yosef Leib Zussman were very close friends, which is actually amazingly interesting, because I knew both of them. Obviously, I was very, very close to Reb Sroya Zatzal, and I knew Reb Yosef Leib somewhat. I was by him a few times and saw him, and you'd never put the two together in a million years. You'd never put the two together. Reb Yosef Leib Zussman Zatzal, you know, was Yerushalmi with the Shtreimel and the whole, his whole look, you know, the whole look was just an old man Yerushalmi, you know, Choshev and Mekuvel. He played the whole part, you know, he was fire, he was mamasha. And Reb Sroya Devlitsky Zatzal was a short beard, short jacket, more modern looking, if you want to say, in a certain sense, because of those features. You know, he didn't have the payas the way, you know, like the way the Yushamas have, and he didn't wear any fancy clothing that would make him look extra holy, and he was yekish. He was very yekish and very reserved, quiet, reserved. He looked cool and collected. You didn't know the fire burning inside him, but there was a very serious fire burning inside him. So the shidduch of the two is fascinating, and these letters show how deep that connection was. So in one of these letters, he turns to his friend Rav Zussman Zatzal, and he writes, Bizmanim Elu, this letter is from Gimel Bahaloscha, Tafshin Yud Gimel. Rabbi Yaakov Moshe was Nifter in Tafshin Yud Beis in Kislev. So we're talking about more than a year later. And he writes, Bizmanim Elu, Kim Dumani Chaser Lanu. In these times, it seems to me we are missing. Hagodol She Yakif Es Kol Miktsoyes HaTorah HaKdoshah Merubim. The Godol that encompasses all the areas of the Torah, the many areas of the Torah HaKadosha, that it would be possible to take counsel from him. Now you have to realize, they were very big people in those days when he's writing this. You had the Chazon Ish, you had the Briskerov, Rabbi Sazalm, they were very, very big tzaddikim, tamidei chachamim, they were huge people. And Reb Sroya ended up becoming a ben bayis by the Chazon Ish. But nevertheless, he writes, it seems to me that we're missing that Gadol who's going to encompasses all the various areas of the Torah Kedoshah. Sheyeh efshel yitya'etz ito b'chol ha'inyonim ha'noigim la'avodas Hashem Yisbarach. That it will be possible to take counsel from him in all areas that are relevant to the avodah of Hashem. G'dayli ha'mosir b'yameinu, the G'dayli ha'mosir in our days, they are missing at least a deep knowledge. They may have some knowledge of the chelik of Kabbalah, of the chelik, the hidden parts of the Torah, but they don't have a deep knowledge of it. So that it's impossible to request of them the Dvar Hashem, to ask of them the Dvar Hashem in that portion of the Torah. In all the details that are relevant to Avodas Hashem Yisparach that have to do with Kabbalah. V'chein ala v'hala, and so on and so on. Ube'emes murgash ma'oid chisroinish la goyna tzadik Rabbi Yaakov Moshe Zatzal. The lack of Rabbi Yaakov, the goyna tzadik Rabbi Yaakov Moshe Zatzal is very felt. She'iched b'toichai, for he unified within him al kolpanin b'mide b'ruba ma'oid, at least in a very, very, in a very major measure, es kol miktsois ha'Torah, all the various areas of the Torah. Vayefshel lekabel etzli etz of itoshia bechol prat uprat hanegel lavodas Hashem Yisbarach, and it was possible to receive from him counsel and advice in every single detail that had to do with avodas Hashem. V'kaniyre kena yagam ha'goyin ha'tzadik Rav Tzvi Michal Zatzal, and he says apparently that was the same was the case with the goyin ha'tzadik Rav Shmichel Shapiro Zatzal. Ad kama anu tzrichim legadol v'rabin kazeh? How much we need a gadol and a rav like this? Amshi lechol mashal dugma ktana. I'll give you a small example to illustrate how much we need somebody like this. And he says in a parenthetical comment, he says, ve'eini roitzeh chas v'shalom lifgoya b'shum echad me'agdoyim achayim itanu shlito kol echad ve'echad b'chelkoi miktzoy. And I'm chas v'shalom don't want to be pegeya. I don't want to take away at all from any of the gedolim that are living with us today, each one in his own area of the Torah. Ach kenu ha-metzias, but this is the metzias one I'm writing. This is the fact. Lemashal, for example, be'inyin ha-kavonis ha-rashash b'tfilas. When it comes to the Kabbalistic meditational kavonis of the rashash in the tfilas, im lamal ha-pratze olachdol. Should I spend a lot of time toiling over a certain detail? In the Siddur Rashash, there are many, many, many details in the meditations that the Rashash records, al pi the Arizal. And not every single detail is critical to the overall tefillah. There's differences between the different parts. And sometimes you don't know, should I put, like, is this crucial? Is this major or not? So that's what Rabbi Yaakov Moshe is talking about. I want to know, do I have to like really figure this one out, or can I just like stop here and go on? You know, there's so much to do. So he says, "Im tifne legadol b'miktzay halacha b'musar." If you're going to turn to a gadol who's great in the area of halacha, a massive paisik, let's say, or somebody who's a great big bal musar, b'vaday yishlo kol inyan hazeh mikol v'kol. He's for sure going to reject the whole sugya completely. Machmas elef taimi musvaras hasheito, for a thousand reasons in svaras. Ah, you know, because they don't see it as important. They're not into this stuff. They look at it like it's So they give you a thousand reasons why you're wasting your time. The imtif nelegado bechelak asod. Now, what's going to be if you're going to turn to a big makobol, somebody who's very big in the area of sod, beinyan ze, in this inyan, bevada yala lecha inyan ze ad l'shamayim. That makobol is going to make this into, so he's going to blow this out into like the biggest thing possible, up to the heavens, ad sheyifsek, to the point that it'll paskin, shekedai b'shvil ze, it's worth, because of this, afil l'spala b'yechidus, it's worth it even to daven b'yechidus, to daven alone, v'afil l'shevet b'shmona esrei, and even to sit during shmona esrei, im kasha lamoid, if it's hard to stand, machmas arichas ha-kavanas, because of the length of the kavanas. I saw this psak. He's not staying stam. I saw the paskin like this in the Sefer Shari Rachamim, which is a very chashiv of Kabbalah Sefer of, like it's a Shaul's a Chuvas type Sefer of Kabbalah, not halacha de Kabbalah. And he saw there paskin the halacha lemaisa, that if it takes a very long time to damish Menesser with the Kavanas, and you may be weak, you can sit down. And if you need to, you can dam bichidus. In other words, like everything, the Kavanas are so, so important, he's going to make it, blow it into the biggest thing possible, because that's his area. So he doesn't have the realm of Allah, he doesn't take the realm of Allah into the proper importance. He's not giving it the proper weight. When he says, "V'davar zeh b'vadei neged ha-din," and this Reb Sroya says is for sure against halacha. You can't do such a thing. V'yesh oid harbe v'harbe inyanim ke'elu. There are many, many things like this. He says, "Shayunu tzrichim legadol adar." We need a gadol adar. She'ached es kol chelki ha-Torah k'doshah, that will unify all the parts of the Torah. V'zeh b'avinaseinu rabim ein lanu b'dor yosim kazeh. And this, with our many sins, we don't have in this orphaned generation. After the passing of this tremendous person, and it's chaval on the loss that we don't have it anymore. It's a very, and that's really, I think, really, you know, is a good synopsis of what was so special and unique about Rabbi Yaakov Moshe. He was a goyin olam in Nigla. In his, he has svarim, six volumes that are printed, and there are more in the ksavim that have not been printed because it's hard to, they don't sell as well as his machshava svarim, and they need money to print them. And there's not necessarily such a following of people that are going to learn them. They are very long pieces. He has on Maseches Baba Kama. He has, but the first two volumes of Stam, very, very difficult sugyas from different areas of Aruch Chaim, a little bit of Yeridea. He has on Maseches Baba Basra a volume. He has on Maseches Baba Metzia, Baba Kama, all the Babas, Sanhedrin. He has different things. It's six volumes. I have in front of me, over here, Beis Vol Chelek Shlishi. It's impossible to get today. Baruch Hashem, it was hard to get it. I got a copy. So in this Beis Vol Chelek Shlishi, this volume is like a Shaul Satshuva Sefer, where it's his like correspondence with different Gdol Yisrael. And in the back, for example, is a fascinating little chibur, which he called Conscious Venitztak Kodesh. And that was, there was a very, very, a big ilui, a tremendous ilui called the Teplika Rav in Yerushalayim. Teplika Rav Zatzal in Yerushalayim. Rav Shimshon Aaron Polanski. There were many Gdol Yisrael that learned by him. And but he had this thing, he had massive kashas on a lot of the Gdol Achroinim, like on the Shach and the Ktsais, like, and he asked these major kashas and was chaylik on them. And he would ask them to Gdol Yisrael, and really nobody had good answers for them. He was able to, like, you know, stump everyone. He was a genius. And Rabbi Yaakov Moshe told him, you know what, if you put them in a sefer, you organize them in a sefer, I bli neder will respond. I will try to respond to your kashas and answer them up. And he wrote this kuntras called Venitzta Kodesh at the time that they were under siege and they were being bombed. He didn't have even svarim with him, and without svarim, he writes these answers that are just like unbelievable. He's like mamish b'oyimika iyun, and that was Yaakov Moshe. Another tshuva in this is a 16-page tshuva. These are massive pages, you know. It's like, and they're packed. There's not like, you know, big spacing or whatever. It's packed pages. I'm just picking up to the camera so you can see. He writes a tshuva of your 16, was it? I think he has 16 pages. And the it was he writes at the beginning, it's a very long and complicated question that has to do with, there was a bacher from Damascus, in Jordan, that was Mekadesh a Besula when he was on a Shayara from Tveria. So it was a complicated question. At the end, he says that I didn't come over here to be paskin halacha, because I can't paskin halacha. I just, our Rebbe, we were commanded Me'etz Rabbeinu Agoin Rabbi Yeshua Tzvi Michal from Shlita. And those, when he wrote it, it was Shlita. I was commanded by him to learn these inyanim and the pratim is davim is, and therefore I put my ian into it. And it's a massive, very complicated piece of 16 pages. And you know how old he was at that time? At the time that he wrote this, he was 16 years old. Like, you just can't imagine that a 16-year-old could write such a deep piece. And that was because his Rebbe Rav Shmichel told him, I want you to write a tshuva. I want you to go into this. So he was that's in the nigla aspect. He was very, very huge. In Kabbalah, he was also extremely just massive. And he was a very big Baal Ruach HaKodesh. There are a number of stories. I don't have time, I'm not going to go into them now. But he was a very, very big Baal Ruach HaKodesh. In his letters, which he did not want ever to be published, and the truth is, I know that the family, the Chalap family, didn't want it to be published either. But he had letters that he wrote to Rav Kook, and Rav Tzvi Yehuda did publish them after Rabbi Yaakov Moshe was Nifter. He didn't do it while he was Nifter because he would have gotten upset. But in these letters, he writes to Rav Kook, listen, if I knew these letters are going to get to you, I would write to you more, but I have to write to you about something. And then as time goes on, he realizes Rav Kook is getting the letters, he starts to open up. And basically he writes about a vision that he had. He had a major thing of Ruach HaKodesh at the Kaisel on the 10th of Cheshvan in Tafresh Ein Vav. And he writes to Rav Kook, like, very, very big things. I'm not going to get into it, but one of the things that they told him was that it's very important for them to stay connected. Even they're miles and miles apart. Rav Kook was stuck in London in those days. It was when he was in England. And Rav Yaakov Moshe was in Eretz Yisrael, in Yerushalayim. And he said they have to be mechaven to stay connected each other mentally and, you know, in their spirit. And he writes about that connection. And one of the things he writes is, this is what he was told. He's writing what he's told. He's saying that if you were together, you would be able to elevate the entire universe. And it would be like tremendous. And he says, "Va'ata v'rabcha, you and your Rebbe, tzrichim l'takenis kol ha'olam kulo. You have to be mesaken the entire world. V'alavai sheyimatzu l'chol ha'pachas shnei anashim ke'ela ba'olam. Halavai, there were another two people like this in the whole world." Big things. And later on he tells him, he starts to reveal a little bit more, like as the letters go on, and he says that in you, in Rav Kook, he says to him, is the neshama of Yechizkiah Melech Yehuda. He says that the neshama of Yechizkiah Melech Yehuda, the king of Yehuda, Yechizkiah, appears in Rav Kook, and it's important that that neshama has to unite together with the neshama of Yosam ben Uziah, who was also the king of Yehuda. He writes why, whatever, a little bit, gives indication why, and that was referring to himself, the neshama of Yosam ben Uziah Melech Yehuda. And he brings then psukim, the lahagbir yemin Hashem reimema, to bring the right hand of Hashem, to make that more empowering. Besoy tnu oiz lalakim, in the secret of give strength to God. Al Yisrael gavosoy vuzoy bashchokim. Now tnu oiz lalakim, tnu is in the gematria of Yosam, which he said was the neshama in him. And Tnu Oiz is in the gematria of Yaakov Moshe, when you spell Yaakov with a vav. And he ends off Uvezeh Yitamu Chata'im in Haaretz. Yitamu is Yosam. And it's interesting that when Rav Kook was very, very sick, Rabbi Yaakov Moshe writes to a letter in Michtavei Maroim that they gave Rav Kook, they added a name to him when he was very, very sick, like is the minug, and they named him Yechizkiyahu, based on Rabbi Yaakov Moshe. Rabbi Yaakov Moshe told them in that name because he knew that his neshama was that bechina. Another interesting thing is he has a perish on Tehillim. And in this perish on Tehillim, the Hakdama, just to give a glimpse of what we're talking about, he writes how Shira, Tehillim is a Shira, it's a song, and it needs to be explained specifically through the mode of song. Not, he says, derech dafka derech tzalachat hashir, lo bederech yigi'ah lityagea limtzei peyush v'derech labir. It's not supposed to be written through toiling over it to find an explanation and a way to be mevaer. Kol yigi'ah poseles bashir. Any exertion passes up a shir. V'chein kol bir shel derech remez, and any beer that's al derech remez, it's Shir. So he says, Shir is something very, very high, very powerful, that needs to be explained in the same way. And anything that you're trying to work at it, if you have to work at it, you missed the boat. That's not what song, what Shir is about. And therefore he writes that you have to get yourself He says, the if you want to be mevaer tehillim, you want to mevaer the shir, the aim has to be sheyitzlach olav ruach hashir, that the spirit of the song has to rest upon the person, v'lehitkarev lemaimit shel ha-meshorer, and to become closer to the level of the one who sang it, the one who wrote that song. Be'eze maga koshu, at least somewhat, you have to at least touch it somewhat, you got to be there a little bit. She'oz nefesh ha-meshorer me'ira b'nefesh ha-mizdabik u'mizkarev ilov, that then the nefesh of the meshorer, the one that wrote that shir, is going to illuminate, is going to lighten up in the nefesh of the one who's attaching to and coming close to him. And being that Ruach HaKodesh can't rest upon a person except when he's very, makes himself specially holy and tahar, and at a time when he removes from himself all illness, so to say, or filth, and all lowliness, and specifically from any physical leaning and any self leaning, you have to be mevatel yourself completely, no ego involved, v'rak oz, and only then, only then when you attach yourself to the Elokim Chaim and to the Avodim HaNemonim of Hashem, right, the trustworthy Avodim of Hashem, and the and specifically with a tremendous love of the Klolos of Yisrael, I'm Kodshoy, Rak Oz Yanuach Lev Or Hashem, only then will the light of Hashem rest upon the person, V'yizkel En Goy B'Ktzeh Mateh Shel HaShirah Kedoshah, then you'll be able to at least touch on the edge of that staff of the holy shira. Therefore, this bir that I present to you today, he says, or that I'm writing, was not written continuously, except in specific times, from time to time. You can't always be holding at that level to do that. And more so, he says, ruach hashir hatzolech al mevar tzorch sheyachul emtzu divrei meshayer. The spirit of the shir has to come on to the explainer dafka through the words of the meshayer. The ima ruach yitzlachov emtzot acherot v'lo ye yonik shirosiv ruach divrei derech hakodesh. I want to just be makater. He says, normally when people explain things, they really end up putting themselves, they project themselves onto the shir, and they end up being malbish their own ideas. They clothe their own ideas in the words of the mishur, of the shir that they're trying to explain. And that's not the way it goes. He says, you have to be in a situation where you allow yourself to feel what these words are saying and doing, not put yourself onto it, not to put your ideas in there. They have to completely come drawn out of there. And he says that's another reason why this couldn't be written in old times, because it takes a certain situation to be able to be zeicha that the ruach of David HaMelech is going to, you know, give you that. You're going to tap into it the right way. And then he says later on in this little hakdama, he says, the revelation, his galus shall shiras kodesh ukach, the revelation of the holy song is like this. Mitchila mitnotzetz rotzen lasogas v'tzalachas hashir. First, there's a will to understand and be able to chap the what this shir is doing. That this little spark, he says, the will first is starts as a spark. V'acharkach, and then afterwards, margishim tchifa pnimit, you begin to feel an inner push, like shimam ba'otiyot uvichtav, to manifest them in letters and in writing, uvishomam, and when you hear them, uvishomam kol, and when you hear the voice, kach keses ha-sefer uksov, you take the pen, and you take the parchment, so to say, of the sefer, and you write, vayad lo kachas es ha'et, and then the hand takes the pen, v'kotevet, and writes, mebli ladat lifnei haksiva malichtov, without knowing before you write what you're going to write. You just pick up the pen and start to write, and the words come out on the page. Ba'ifen ze nerach habir ashirati anochachi. It's in that way that this bir, sefer, this shira, bir, right, this explanation of the shira was written. Oysi is a tehillim, heiru, the letters of Tehillim illuminated, v'afapayim yashiru, and the eyelids straightened, negdam, accordingly, v'rotzin pnimit paretz, and an inner rotzin, an inner will, burst forth, lakachat et ha'et, to take the pen, v'lichtov, and to write miyad, Hashem aleinu, his skill from the hand of Hashem, whatever was given into the seichel, straight, kibiyochel, from the Ruach HaKodesh. So you can see, and that's what this is. We're dealing with a person who was on a totally different level, just totally, totally different level. Another nice story just about his Avos Yisrael and his Simcha for Eretz Yisrael was that at the end of his life, he was very sick, and they were doing major, major work in Shari Chesed, because they were putting down, if I remember correctly, they were putting down new pipes for water and for biyuv, sewage pipes, etc. So they were digging away, and it was making terrible noise, and he was very sick. So his family, or people that were close to him, asked the city to please stop the work in like the afternoon hours, or like a certain time that Rabbi Yaakov Moshe will be able to sleep, because he needed rest. And there was like a day or two without noise, and Rabbi Yaakov Moshe asked somebody there, like, what happened? Why did they stop building? Because he didn't hear the noise, and he was worried about, like, what's going on? And they said that the family asked if they could not do this in the hours of, you know, whatever. So he said, what are you talking about? That noise is the most beautiful noise I can hear. I've been crying all the time that Eretz Yisrael should be inhabited, should be settled, that the Jewish people, this is the rebuilding of Eretz Yisrael, this is Mamash Achras Hayamim, this is the stages of the Geula, there's nothing so sweet to my ears, that's going to hurt my health. It hurt himself more not to hear it. It's like such a person, he was like a very, very different level. But again, you know, we see a little, you know, the Amkus, you could see in the stuff that we're learning, the profound thinking is just tremendous. What something that people don't know is, you know, Maharal and Machshava, you could say, came into the Olam HaYeshivas today really through Rav Yaakov Moshe. Because Rav Huttner is really the one that brought it in for the most part, you know, into our yeshiva world, if you call it like that. And Rav Huttner heard the shiurim from Rav Kook, but primarily Rav Yaakov Moshe. Rav Kook was Rav Rashi, was the Rav Rashi then, so he wasn't actively giving the shiurim as much as Rav Yaakov Moshe. So Rav Huttner's whole, and Rav Huttner testified that his whole top floor is Rav Kook. So that whole, you know, the profound machshava that was being brought in really was brought into the Olam HaYeshivas really through Rav Kook and Rav Yaakov Moshe, so you know, we're talking about, again, like Rav Soraya said, a person who kol haKabbalah, it was all there. He davened with Kavanas Rashash very often. He was a tremendous seichel and a tremendous lev. And the combination of all these things is something extremely unique, and that's why I became, you know, very, I would say, a Talmud through the Svarim, because there's something here that's really very unique. And you see in the Svarim, we learn, right? We just learned now. He saw the whole idea of the tshuva based on the concept of Hafaras Nadarim versus Hataras Nadarim. He does this very often, where he'll apply the Machshava Dika things, he'll put it into a Hagdara, he'll classify it based on the halachic classifications that we have. That bridge between all areas of Torah is very, very unique, and especially on the level and depth and all encompassing level that he does, something very, very special. Be'ez Hashem, we should be Zeicha, as he says, to just at least touch the edge of his staff, and be Zeicha to get Yir Shemayim and Torah from him. And there should be Le'ili Nishmas, and we should be Zeicha to get a little bit Das, like Rav Nachman says, just from the Etzem Adiburim, and then from learning his farm, Be'ez Hashem. Okay. So you should have a good vach to everyone. Anyone has any ha'aras or questions?
Did Rav Yaakov Moshe Harlap have any kesher with Aleshem?
I don't know of him having kesher with Aleshem. Rav Kook clearly had a kesher with Aleshem. Rabbi Yaakov Moshe might have been too young to like really build a kasher. I don't know of anything more than that. Yeah, I do know. I do know that I saw and held his leshem, because that I do know he had a leshem.
Do we have any of his ktavim on the Kitvei Ari? Did
no.
he write on the Kitvei Ari?
No, that's a good question. He, as far as we know, he did not write on the Kitvei Arizal. Anything that he had in Kabbalah apparently was more like he gave over maybe to certain Talmidim, just Tarish Shebal Peh, like Rav Yosef Loib Zussman. I don't know, maybe there were others. But he didn't do that in writing. No, apparently he didn't see that as the avodah that he was supposed to do in this world. But I can tell you one thing, about Rav Yosef Leib Zussman. I was at Rav Yosef Leib Zussman's Levaya, and one of the Maspidim was Rav Shmuel Auerbach Zatzal. Rav Shmuel Auerbach entered into Kabbalah through Rav Zussman. Rav Zussman was his first Rebbe in Kabbalah. He's the one that got him into Kabbalah. Now, what was amazing was the Hesped, the Rav Fischel Eisenbach, who was Rosh Shiva of Shaar Shemaim, was maspid him at this Levaya. He was maspid Rav Zussman. Now you have to realize, you're talking about a person, Rav Zussman spoke in Merkaz Harav. Like he spoke, you know, to Dati Lumi, Merkaz Harav, had no problem with it. He felt very connected. He was very Zionistic, actually, even though he was completely Yerushalmi, and his friends and buddies were all the heavy, heavy duty Yerushalmi and even Kanoyesha fellows. And he wasn't like that at all. And they knew that. But nevertheless, he had full respect of all that Yerushalmi world, because they knew he was a huge tzaddik, and they saw him at the Kaisa. There was nothing, you know, it wasn't the typical thing, the typical Zionism, so to say. But what Rav Fischel Eisenbach said about him was unbelievable. I remember it till this day. You know, I don't necessarily remember too many Hespedim that I hear. They're kind of similar, you know. It's like, I just don't. So I try to record them nowadays. But he said like this, I remember. He said there were 13 Sifrei Torah that were written in Klal Yisrael. One Sefer Torah per Shevet. Every Shevet had a Sefer Torah. And then there was a 13th Sefer Torah that the purpose of that Sefer Torah was, it was put in the Kodesh HaKadoshim by the Aron, where nobody was able to get to it. And Rav Fischel Eisenbach said, what was the purpose of that 13th Sefer Torah? The purpose of that Sefer Torah, he said, was that if ever one Shevet would get up and change one letter or word, or even a letter in their Sefer Torah, and say, no, this is the right Nusach, and everybody else is wrong, so you would take that 13th Sefer Torah, which was in the Kodesh HaKadoshim, which no one had access to, and nobody could have possibly changed and altered. And that Sefer Torah, he said, was the mochiach, was the proof of what the real Nusach is. It was the way to establish what the real Messiah is. And then he said, Rav Yosef Leib Zussman was the mochiach of the Olam HaKabbalah. He was the mechiach of the proper Messiah. He was the 13th Sefer Torah. If there was ever a question of what the real Messiah is in Kabbalah, Rabbi Yosef Leib Zussman was that Torah. And of course, Rabbi Yosef Leib Zussman, whatever he had, was from Yaakov Moshe. So, you understand, we're talking about something very big.
Incredible.
Okay.
Thank you so much.
All right. A good bracha to everyone. Shavua tov.